Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. A trillion here, a trillion there. We'll talk to Eugenia Larmore. She's a PhD, MBA, and president of EK Economic Consultants. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome for the first time to Nevada Newsmakers, Eugenia Larmore. She is a PhD, MBA, and president of EK Economic Consultants. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so in the world of economics, has the world gone mad?
Well, this morning with the stock market the way it is, we're finally seeing the correction we've expected for a while, but it is a surprise to many. And so I guess in the short answer, yes, it has.
Well, let me be more specific, but we should point out that we're taping this the morning after Labor Day and the stock market has dipped quite a bit already this morning.
Correct.
So I guess what I'm referring to is, I'm no economist. I follow the news and I try to understand what's going on. And over the years, I've always been told that if you borrow something, you have to pay it back. And if you don't pay it back within a certain amount of time, there are consequences. And when it comes to the government, far worse than in your personal life, that if you don't pay it back, this will rain down on your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and on and on and on. And now we're in a situation where you speak to economists on both sides, people who are in favor of spending as much as is necessary and people who are against spending, and they all say it's okay to spend. Why is it okay now to spend?
Well, first of all, running a deficit, whether in a business, a household, or a government, is a sign of inefficiency. You can do it in the short term if you can create some leverage, you're borrowing so you can monetize it, create more money in the future. If you're long-term running a deficit like our federal government has, obviously it shows that there's an inefficiency. You're not generating enough revenues or your costs are too high or both. So yes, it's a bad thing in terms of inefficiencies. It's a bad thing in that you may not be spending. There may be some deadwood in the programming and the expenses. You may not be collecting enough revenues. Right now, and kind of the shift in the thinking with the economists is within interest rates being as low as they are. Well, let me back up. The federal government will probably never pay back the debt that it has. The intent is not to pay back the debt. The intent is to pay the debt service, so just the interest on the debt. As long as the interest rate on that debt is less than the growth rate of our GDP, our production as a country, it's okay to continue to incur debt, purely mathematically. Again, from the efficiency point, you obviously don't want to continue to create debt because you continue that inefficiency. So, for example, in this case, if we're talking spending from a one-time COVID-related event, with COVID, the recession that we've created is not due to an imbalance in the normal economic forces, right? The housing bubble hasn't burst. There wasn't a financial crisis. This is a medically induced recession. So to short-term shore up our economy, to continue to have jobs, one-time spending event is exactly what we needed to have. If we continue to do and spend at $2 trillion per year, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So there's also a difference in how that debt needs to be created. And you mentioned, you know, if we continue to have deficits, we're passing the pain on to the children. There's a little bit of an argument, again, just with this one-time kind of boost spending, is that, well, that future generation of children who will be paying the debt in the future, they're now could be growing up in households with unemployed parents if we don't do anything right now. So the hurt could be right now or it could be in the future. Again, I'm not an advocate of either. As an economist, you hate to see inefficiencies. We really need to take a close look as to how we spend, how we tax, and why we keep running deficits. But this latest large deficit was probably necessary and is not as painful as it could be because the interest rates are so low.
Okay, so you've opened up so many doors here. Let's go through a couple. During the Clinton administration, and getting towards the end of the Clinton administration, and this is before the Iraq War under President Bush II, we were actually paying off the debt. There was a point where it appeared that we could actually be debt-free. What would that have done to the economy of the country if we'd have actually been debt-free?
I think it's, it's a change in the way we're viewing debt. We really shifted away from debt is bad to debt is manageable and sustainable. Again, interest rates play a huge role in that. Paying off the debt allows us to have more debt in the future, right? So if you can borrow more, you're a lot more flexible in how you perform. There's a little bit of, again, back to that leverage, you may not want to be paying off the debt. Let's say your government has $1,000 to spend. You pay off that debt, a third of that is foreign-owned debt. So that money is out, it's flowing out of your economy. You can also spend that $1,000 on social programs or some other governmental expenditure. What gets you the highest return on investment? And with the rates being as low as they are, they were obviously much higher during the previous times. It may be not a good idea to be paying off the debt, maybe not incurring additional, but the payment, there may be some better ways of spending that money than repaying the debt.
And also, and I'm talking in current terms now, if the interest rates are so low, and even for regular businesses, they're very, very low, it may be worth carrying that debt because you can write off the interest payments as part of your taxes if you're making a profit. It may make sense to keep a certain level of debt for that company, does it not?
Absolutely. Again, if you can borrow to return $2,000, now we're at the business level. If you can borrow $1,000, buy a new piece of machinery that's going to get you a 10% return on your investment versus paying 2-3% in interest on that loan, you've leveraged your money, you've created more revenue than you are having the cost and the interest payment. So there's ways to benefit from having debt.
All right, now let's turn to the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve has said from the beginning of this COVID crisis that they saw mistakes that were made during the Great Recession where they did not react aggressively enough. And they have said and encouraged the federal government to spend whatever is necessary, and that they will print the money to back that up. Your thoughts on that?
There's been quite a shift in the past from kind of the Keynesian, the governmental spending policies, to the monetary policies. So the idea is, there's really, if you're at less than full employment, which means your country is either in the recession or in the significant slowdown, you boost output and you boost the economy by either the government spending more money or creating more money. So the monetary versus fiscal policies. There's been really a move away from the fiscal policies into the monetary policy, and that's what we've really been seeing with the Fed, with the keeping the interest rates at certain levels, with increasing the money supplies. So that's the problem that the Fed is really facing, is that with interest rates as low as they are, there's very little monetary policy that they have left. They can decrease the rate a little bit more, but there's really, we're not at 18%. We're very low. So we're a little bit, and that's kind of what we did when the COVID started, the federal government went to fiscal policy. They created money in the economy by governmental spending, by just handing out the money through the governmental side instead of the interest rates, instead of the money supply piece of it. So I think there was room for both, but I think the monetary policy is going to be really limited in the future with the interest rates as low as they are.
Unless they start to go into negative interest rates.
And really nobody wants to go into that, because again, that's a sign of inefficiency, and it's difficult to control once you start that. There's other tools that maybe we should be using before going negative. It's kind of a sign of weakness as well.
One of the things that's also been interesting is to see the Fed pushing the Congress to actually approve another spending plan, a fifth spending plan. And the reason that appears not to be being done at this moment, which may change in September, is that politics are now playing into this, where the bailout of certain state governments, pension plans and things like that, deals that they have made over the years that they are now paying the price for, would be a part of that bailout. And there's a certain part of the political voice that's saying, no, we don't want to do that. Is that good or bad policy, you know, from your opinion?
Well, and we're moving out of the realm of economics a little bit to politics.
But they're inescapable.
Right. And absolutely, they're incredibly interrelated, especially right now, especially with the election coming up, with the COVID and the spending that needs to be done. I think there's certainly something to be said for help. You don't want to have governments have issues. They provide, especially at the local level, they provide a lot of services. So you don't want bankruptcy. You don't want the state to have to come in and take over local government, or the feds having to help out a state government. On the other hand, we should not be encouraging inefficiencies. If the inefficiency was created prior to COVID, then throwing more money, good money after bad money, is not necessarily a solution. There has to be, if they get help, there has to be at least some kind of an oversight to make sure those mistakes are not made.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more. A lot to absorb after this time out.
Things are heating up at the Carson Valley Inn. Win your share of $200,000 through September 26th. Cash and free play every weekend, plus 5x points Fridays. The good times are at CVI.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't going to let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
Things are heating up at the Carson Valley Inn. Win your share of $200,000 through September 26th. Cash and free play every weekend, plus 5x points Fridays. The good times are at CVI.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Eugenia Larmore. She is a PhD, an MBA, and president of EK Economic Consultants. At this point in time, do we think that the Fed will actually be able to influence the Congress? Because coming into election, it seems that whatever side would be opposed to pumping more money into the economy would end up being on the losing side of an election, just based on the fact that, you know, somebody famously once said, it's the economy, stupid.
Absolutely. This is where politics and economics don't necessarily create the best outcome. What needs to be done is that we need to not just pump money into the economy, but pump it into the areas that are directly impacted by COVID, are struggling, the ones that are going to really create the best return on investment or least loss and least pain. So we always need to, if we put money into things, how do we help the most number of people? That really kind of gets lost in the politics of things. Like you said, do we not help certain groups or do we not have certain programs because the politics of it, the optics look bad? And that's a little bit of a fear in the election year, in the COVID year, that we may not be as efficient as we need to be because of potential politics.
Should people be scared about the numbers in terms of, you know, we used to talk about millions, then we talked about billions, and then I remember interviewing Senator Reid when he was the majority leader, and I said, you know, Congress only deals in billions. They don't deal in millions. He said, no, 10 billion. That was the smallest number at that time that Congress was dealing with. Now we're talking about trillions. We're negotiating between $1 trillion and $3 trillion. And this is not the first go around. Should we be scared of the size of these numbers?
Yes and no. If it goes perfectly, if this money goes into the economy right where it needs to go, it stops our GDP from falling or boosts our GDP to new levels, again, we can create enough GDP, enough production in the economy that would otherwise have been lost or been at lower levels to cover that debt.
So hang on, let me just grab that real quickly. So when you say GDP, in this particular sense, we're really talking at the most basic level, which is people buying food, people paying their rent, people paying their mortgages. It isn't even about, you know, building a factory necessarily. It's about way more basic things.
It's all of this, yes. It's the household spending, it's business spending, it's taxes going back to the local governments so the local governments can continue to provide services. So it's the machine that runs our entire economy, all of the money that flows through the economy.
Okay, let's look at inflation. Inflation has not been an issue for a long time. And in fact, the Fed has a target for inflation that has not been met in years. They are now trying to raise that level of inflation. Is that a concern?
It's not a concern in and of itself. Inflation is really neither good nor bad unless it's extreme. You don't want deflation, you don't want 20% inflation, obviously. That could not, well, should not happen.
Except under the Ford administration.
we try to not allow that to happen, and the Fed has a lot of leeway in that. This is kind of an interesting that inflation in and of itself, what we're experiencing is shifts in where the inflation is coming from. Housing prices are going up. The spending is shifting under COVID. So today's inflation is not necessarily last year's inflation levels, even as this is 2% versus 2%, the measures that are behind it are different. So I don't think inflation is really a risk or an issue right now unless we do something wrong. We put too much money into the economy, but focus on the wrong sectors. So I think that the bigger issue is making sure that employment goes back to previous level and output continues to grow.
But in a higher inflation would also lower the cost of paying back that debt in the future. If not paying off the debt, at least lowering the real cost of paying the interest on the debt.
Correct.
Wow, okay, let's take a break. Boy, my math teacher would be so proud of me. We'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Eugenia Larimore. She is a PhD, MBA, and president of EK Economic Consultants. So I've talked about this on the program before, but it seems to me that over the last several years, the people who have really paid the price in this economy pre-COVID were the seniors, where interest rates were so low that you saved your money all your life and you put it into the bank, and you're now at an age where the stock market doesn't make sense for the most part, and now you're lucky if you're getting 1% interest rates, and you should be grateful for that. And that's not enough to take care of the senior population.
That's a great point. I haven't considered that, but you're absolutely right. Your options really are a bank, a mutual fund, something very low interest, treasury bonds risk-free, but again, the return is not going to be very high. Or you enter the high-risk stock market for a year, and that's very scary at a certain age.
Right, and you know, I mean, if you were hoping for a 5% return on your money, which was not, you know, an exorbitant amount, you're not getting anywhere close to that in a safe return.
Absolutely, and risk-free, you're just not going to have that right now.
Okay, so do you have a concern that as we continue on this path of low interest, you know, the Fed has said as far as the eye can see, basically, we're not going to raise interest rates, that we're going to end up with great socioeconomic collapse in our senior population, who will not have the money to be able to live out their lives, or they will be relying on Social Security, which was never meant to be 100% of somebody's retirement.
That's an absolutely great point. The idea of keeping interest rates low has always been to encourage businesses to invest, to continue to grow, to hire people. Your point is very good in that, as with most economic policy, we lose or we miss pockets of people. And seniors and people who have to have low-risk investment are absolutely the ones who are getting... they're not being held by the process, absolutely.
All right, well, that's where we have to leave it for now. I thank you so much for speaking in plain English on this topic, which is so complex for all of us. And please come back again. We'd love to have you come back and help us as we go through this whole COVID thing and see, hopefully, the positives on the other side.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, and we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.